And call the meeting to order 9:15 a.m. This is the Tuesday, September 29th, 2020 Commission of the Port of Houston Authority meeting. We'll start out. Let me make a couple of brief remarks. We have a guest today. I want to welcome Alan Clark is with us. Thank you for being here, Alan. And I want to start the meeting with a recognition and a resolution for Alan Clark. Alan is a special gentleman that has been a true champion for transportation planning and infrastructure improvements for our region for decades. Alan Clark is the Director of Transportation for the Houston Galveston Area Council and will be retiring at the end of September. Through his dedicated leadership as HGAC's Metropolitan Planning Organizations, Alan has had a tremendous positive impact on the region, on our regional mobility, efficient freight movement, multimodal transportation planning, and improvements to our air quality. Mr. Clark has always recognized the importance of the Port of Houston and its economic impact to the region, state, and nation, and has advocated for efficient multimodal solutions, most recently including the Broadway double track projects and the establishment of the Greater Houston Freight Committee as some of his major many achievements. We honor Alan today with a resolution in recognition of his service to our community, the HGAC, Port of Houston Authority, City of Houston, Harris County, and State of Texas. Alan, we wish you the very best in your retirement, and thank you so much for the many years of your partnership and friendship with the port. We really appreciate that. Commissioners, there is a, as part of your agenda, there is a resolution, and I'll take a motion to approve the resolution.
I'll move.
Great, and we are going to do this the same way, in terms of voting, the same way that Commissioner Don Carlos figured out earlier in the virtual process. If I hear the nay votes, are there any nay votes? If none, then the motion passes. Alan, would you like to take a minute and say hello to the crowd?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a great privilege to receive your recognition, a great honor that really belongs to the members of the Policy Council and the great leadership that you've shared with us on our many different committees and on our Transportation Policy Council. We just had wonderful representation from Port Houston, and Roger does a fantastic job on the Policy Council. I think the real benefit of Port Houston on our Policy Council is that you already bring regional thinking to the table. You know, so many of the members are with one city or one county or one part of one county. You look at the entire region, the entire state, you understand how important it is to work together to find solutions to the many challenges that we face and to work together to seize the many opportunities that have come our way and that we've developed. So thank you so much. Your leadership has been fantastic, and I'm very privileged and honored to be with you this morning.
Thank you, Alan. We do really appreciate your hard work over many years that you served, and hopefully you have a lot of fun things planned that you haven't been able to do now that you will be going into that new phase of your adventure. Commissioners, any comments or questions?
I'll be honest, you've done a great job, Alan. We've always appreciated working with you out here on the East End, and fantastic job. I wish you well in your retirement.
Mayor, thank you so much. It was always wonderful to be able to come to your community in Baytown, work with the great people there.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Roger?
Well, I had a hard time finding the mute button, but thank you, Alan. We're going to miss you. You've been a good friend, good partner, and done a lot of great things, obviously, for the community. But your engagement and recognition of the economic impact of the port and accommodation of freight mobility has been tremendous. So thank you, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, Roger, and to all the great friends and partners that we have at Port Houston. Thank you all so much.
Any other commissioners or any other comments?
It's well deserved.
All right. Okay, great. Well, let me go over a couple of items that I want to kind of highlight before we start the meat of the meeting. I'd like to give everyone an update on our disparity study. We Port Houston contracted with Griffin and Strong PC in August of 2019 to perform the study. And we expect to receive a draft of the study as early as next week or as this week. Just to refresh memories, the disparity study was set up to review our small business program. And we have a very robust small business program and that has provided economic development for the community of over $500 million since it was implemented. I think it's like $540 million now for small businesses in and out around the area. And we thought it was important to try to figure out whether we could improve that program. A lot of folks think that it's a great program, and we do too. It's been an award-winning program, and hopefully this disparity study will help us improve the program so we can outreach more in the community. Today, with all the discussion about social and racial equity, we think that it's a very important part of Port Houston, and we look forward to being able to improve that program and to expand it further to help our partners in the community. The commission and the staff will have the opportunity to review the report for a short period following the receipt of the document. It will be sent out to all the commissioners, and it's our initial draft, and we will then have comments on that. We're scheduled to receive the final submission in October with all of the findings and recommendations. If it's completed as planned, we expect to schedule a presentation and an executive summary by Griffin and Strong to the Port Commission, hopefully at our October meeting. So we look forward to seeing this comprehensive study. But what I also like to do, and since we haven't met for 2 months, you know, it seems like forever, but I want to thank the port employees, the folks that work on our docks and our container terminals, the ILA that can move cargo for a region that is so important and critical. I also want to thank our remote administrative teams that keep everything else running. Without your support and your activities that you're doing every single day, we couldn't make everything happen at the port that is critical. Port police and fire all keeping us safe. Thank you so much for what you're doing every day. I'd also like to just update Project 11 and give a shout out to our Project 11 team. They keep moving forward. We keep moving the ball forward for hopefully a 2021 start for the project. The Project 11 has been included in the House and the Senate versions of the WERDA bill, and we are hopeful that bill will be completed and signed by the end of the year so we can start construction in 2021. Obviously, Project 11 has been a big focus and continues to be a big focus, and I just am really proud of the port employees and all of our contractors and the Corps of Engineers and everyone that continues to realize that is a critical project and we need to stay on schedule. And right now I can tell you we are still on schedule. So with that said, let's go ahead and move into the meeting. I think we have the next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from July 30th, 2020. Do I have a motion?
Motion. We'll move.
Okay. Are there any comments or questions? If not, do I hear any nay votes? Being no nay votes, the motion passes. Item D1 would be our staff reports. Roger, I think that means you.
Great. Well, good morning, Chairman, commissioners, and guests. I want to just start out with a quick summary of our operational activities since our last meeting. Just to start, overall tonnage across our public docks is down for the year, as you might expect, but only 5% through August. General cargo continues to struggle a little bit as a result of the decline of the import steel and things like that that support the energy industry. But the container volume is showing signs of strength, especially on the import side. The canceled or the blank sailings that we saw early on have subsided quite a bit and really been offset a lot by the recent increases in some of the extra loaders that we're seeing that are feeding the peak season demand for retail goods in our region. Momentum on the export side was set back a little bit with the several resin production facilities that are in Southeast Texas and Southwest Louisiana due to Hurricane Laura, but those should be coming back online. Some of them have already. So small setback, but a little bit of impact. But the September volumes have been solid. There was some impact again last week for 3 days when Tropical Storm Beta had the channel closed due to high seas and inability for navigation in the channel. But our terminals remained open. Rich, gave a shout out to our employees. We continued to operate our ILA, our port employees, and all involved continued to serve and receive and deliver containers from the trucking community and for our customers. So we never stopped the terminal operation. Another note that I wanted to make is just in the past couple of weeks, more than $7,000 in donations were made by Port of Houston employees and industry partners for the relief for those that were impacted in areas by the devastated hurricane over again in Southeast Texas and Louisiana. I want to give a special shout out because a major part of or majority part of that was a donation by one of our port stevedores, Cooper Ports America, who donated $5,000 toward this campaign. And also a big shout out to our employees who rallied together and contributed to help the help others in that region. I want to mention further to this, we have a recommendation on the agenda today for approval of a $10,000 donation from Port Houston through the American Association of Port Authorities Emergency Relief Fund. And what that does, it provides a more direct assistance to other port employees in those regions that were affected by the hurricane. So that'll be item F3 on the agenda. Just a little add to what Rick said about the WERDA. Again, we expect it not to be taken up into the Senate to after the election. But I want to mention that, again, this is one of our or the most strategic goals and projects that we have in the port. And COVID-19 has not impacted the advancement of this project. Our staff continues to plow through all the steps that we need to get done to make sure that we have commencement of construction next year. And I just wanted to give a special shout out to Rich Burns and Charlie Jenkins and Lori Brownell and their staff and their consultants for their outstanding leaderships and their diligence to keep this. They've been working more hours on this during the crisis. So to make sure that we're on track to turn dirt as soon as we can. So just a special shout out to them. And also, Rick, I just wanted to add it too. We continue to remain engaged with all of our stakeholders, our Houston Ship Channel stakeholders, in a unified advocacy effort to make sure that we're ensuring the success of the project. So thanks for mentioning that. I wanted to add those points. And last but not least, I want to introduce you to a new member of the Port Houston team. Yesterday was Mr. Carrick Kinney's first day with the port. He's joined us as the Chief Government and Public Relations Officer and oversee the government relations and media relations teams. And in this role, he'll work directly with the executive team, the commission, to provide the strategic leadership that we need and oversight of Port Houston's efforts to engage and collaborate with partners at the federal, state, and local level. He's got over 25 years of experience working with a broad range of stakeholder groups. And I'm confident that Eric's leadership skills, his expertise, and extensive experience in government and public affairs will make him an excellent addition to our team. I'm so happy to have him. And if you would, please join me in welcoming him to the Port family. We're glad to have you, Carrick. If you could just unmute for a second and say hello, if you would. Let us see your face.
There you are. Got to unmute. There you go. You're unmuted.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Hello?
We can hear you.
Hello, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
You're good now.
Okay. Apparently there's typical technical difficulties there. So we'll move. Welcome, Carrick, if you can hear us, and we can't hear you for some reason. So anyway, welcome to the team. Rick, I don't have any other comments.
All right, great. Well, welcome, Carrick. Great to hear you for a second or two. I'm sure we'll have more conversations in the future.
Hello.
We can hear you now. Go ahead. Maybe. Okay. Sorry about it, Carrick. We'll talk to you later. Thanks. Okay. So let's move on to appearances. We do have a couple of people who've signed up for public comment. The first person is Commissioner Roland Garcia. Commissioner Garcia is with the Board of Pilot Commissioners for Harris County Pilot Reports. And Roland is the chairman of the Transition Committee, and will give us an update on the Transition Committee and where the commission is. So, Roland, you have the floor.
Great. Thank you, Chairman Campo. As you all may recall, I did speak to the Board Commissioners at your last meeting and gave an update. Since then, we've had quite a few more meetings. In total, we've had about 20 meetings of our transition committee. That doesn't include the many phone calls and in between work. So the group's made significant progress. As I mentioned, we've published 3 RFPs. One was an RFQ for legal services. The other two were RFPs for executive director, administrator, and then another for investigator for our incidents. That was after really studying models across the country for best practices and operations, budgets, and for creating an agency like ours from scratch. So we did receive good and credible submissions. We've had some interviews. We're in some of the cases were in the negotiation phase, and some of the cases were still deliberating with some supplemental submissions. But we're on track. We feel pretty good with what we've received from the public. And as you all also know, our enabling statute provided for no funding. So then we had to take on the task of looking at funding going forward. And so what we did was we convened several of our meetings. We invited all the stakeholders to our meetings, including pilots themselves, representatives from the shipping industry, chemical companies, terminal owners, agents, ship owners, you name it. Got everyone in the room, and then my committee stepped out, and we wanted them to kick around a consensus. As you can imagine, everyone was pointing fingers at everyone else on who should pay for this, and we were pleasantly pleased to find out that the pilots, after those sessions, stepped up and announced at one of our meetings that they would, for a 2-year period, agree to fund the operations of our commission. We're now in the deliberation phase with the pilots. We've received an MOU, we've responded to the MOU, so we're down to a few items, but in large measure, it's there. What the point of the consensus was, we wanted to avoid the arguments by some that conflicts if the pilots did fund. And so our best understanding is from all the stakeholders that they were in favor of this. In fact, they were arguing the pilots ought to pay. And so we think that probably within the next 30 to 60 days, we will complete the negotiations. We will have contracts signed. Hopefully we'll have our office space. We'll have our HR up and running. We would have our council in place. Then we begin the execution, the transition, move-ins, finalization of contracts, documentation, forms, files, you name it. It's just creating something from scratch. So we're on our way. I think most of the legwork has been done, the sort of the strategic, the research has all been done. And our commission, full commission of the Board of Pilots Commissioners of Harris County Ports recently met. We voted unanimously to move for extension of the interlocal agreement to allow us to proceed and go ahead and complete all of these measures. I want to thank Chairman Campo for being a great resource for us. And I want to thank Eric Erickson and Tyler Gavis, among others, who've been a great resource for us, helping us navigate all this. But the good news is, as we had thought, we should be up and running by the end of the year. And we would appreciate your support of the extension of the interlocal end of the year. And with that, I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Okay, commissioners, go ahead.
I'm sorry. How many times has the pilot board actually met since January?
The pilot board, the entire pilot board, or the transition committee?
The pilot board.
I think it's been four times.
Right.
I knew they met in March, and I knew they just met in September. I just wondering if they're getting the job done, meeting twice a year.
Okay. Well, the key is, Commissioner, that the transition committee, as Roland mentioned, has met over 20 times and spent a lot of time and effort on that. And the commission itself has met quarterly to just follow up with the transition committee. And there's been a lot of offline discussion as well. So, you know, even though I think that we would have been way past having this set up had we not had the COVID situation in March, which set everybody back at least a quarter. And so, you know, as I have the conversation that I've had since I'm just to make sure everybody remembers, I'm still the chairman of the Port Commission. And so what I have done, my position has been I've allowed the transition committee to pretty much go in their own direction, just to make sure that you know, they're going to be the ones going forward and I'm not going to be there. And so I think that they've done a good job. It's definitely taken longer than I think any of us, including the transition committee, has thought, but I do think that COVID played a big role in it. And the pilot commission and the transition committee understand that assuming the Port Commission approves this interlocal agreement extension, that there will be no extension after this.
Yeah, I guess that was my observation. Roland used the word should a lot a while ago. I am barring yet another act of God in 2020. You're very comfortable that we're not going to have the conversation anymore, and this is it on the extensions.
I feel very confident about that. I mean, we don't know if another pandemic comes, but I would barring, you know, as the current status quo is, we're on track to have this agency up and running by the end of the year.
Any other
Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Roland, I'd like to say that, and I'm going to keep all negative comments to myself, but on behalf of the commissioners and yourself, I got a lot of respect for every one of them. And we really need a successful pilot board to make this port what it should be. So I'm in favor of giving you the extension. You said till the end of the year, right?
Right.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm in favor of giving them the extension for the benefit of the port.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to that in the, when we get past the public comments and
Okay.
We'll do that in a second. Any other commissioners comments or questions?
I have a comment.
Okay.
I know I appreciate all the hard work you've done. I know to create something like this from scratch, as you say, is no easy task. And I appreciate what y'all are doing over there. And I'm on board. I mean, the pilots are critical to the port and the industry. And we've got to keep that that operation going as efficiently as possible. So again, thank you for what you're doing, and look forward to getting this thing completed by the end of the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate it.
Any other commissioners? Okay, hearing none. So let me just make one last comment. I do want to thank the Roland and his team, the pilot commissioners, people on the transition committee. They are focused. They understand the critical nature of pilots and how we need to make sure that we don't miss a step in terms of pilotage in the channel. I also want to thank the pilots because they did step up to fund the organization. And I think that's really critical and important. And in addition, at the last pilot commission meeting that we had industry step up and say that they were good with the 2-year transition, that there was this concept of potentially conflicts when the regulator is being paid by the regulator or tees. And we also pointed out that the accountants in Texas, the real estate brokers in Texas, the lawyers in Texas all paid to fund their regulators. And so this is a very normal model, and the pilots are absolutely critical to our business, and we understand that. We don't want any hiccups to happen with that. So we appreciate the pilots and what they do every day, and I'm glad that they stepped up to do this interim deal. Now we'll give the pilot commission 2 years to get to a more to at least get their sort of sea legs under them and understanding what needs to be done. So with that said, thank you, Roland. I appreciate all your efforts, and we'll move on to the next public speaker. So the next person up is Reverend James Caldwell, and Reverend Caldwell is with the Coalition of Community Organizations. So Reverend Caldwell, if you can unmute, you should be able to speak now.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go ahead and unmute our call-in users. I believe Reverend Caldwell may have joined via phone only.
Got it. Go ahead.
Call-in users, as I unmute you, if you are not scheduled to speak, please mute yourself back immediately. Reverend Caldwell, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good morning. Good morning to all, and I'd like to, first of all, thank Chairman Campos and the rest of the commissioners for allowing us all, along with the staff as well, with the board, for allowing this opportunity this morning to have the opportunity to make a public comment. And that comment is in regard to the port itself and the commissions allowing this HPCC and the community engagement to continue to grow. It's that communication, that engagement with community and the port is essential. We think in terms of the economic impact, the environmental impact, the health impact that the port has on the community, and of course the community itself having the opportunity to share whatever those issues may be and having that conversation with the port, we feel are essential. I want to thank, as I said, the chairman, the rest of the commissioners, and of course the staff at the port for allowing us that opportunity to have that conversation, to have that engagement. Because as the port grows itself, and we are all in favor, of course, allowing the port to grow, but we want to make sure by having this conversation that those communities that are affected and in around the port grow with the port itself. There was a conversation spoke earlier about it, Chairman, in regard to social and racial equity. And this is a part of that conversation. And we'd like to continue that conversation, to continue that engagement with the port. So as it grows, the communities in and around it and that are affected by it grows as well. So I thank you all this morning for an opportunity to share that with you. And my sincere thoughts is that you feel likewise.
Absolutely. Thank you, Reverend Caldwell, for those comments. And for those of you who want to join the Port Commission Community Advisory Council, we do have a meeting this Thursday at 1 p.m. And it is an open meeting for anybody who wants to join it. So you can it's via WebEx just like this. I think it's absolutely critical for the port to continue to have outreach to the community. As you point out, we're joined at the hip. I mean, we have to be, and we appreciate your comments and appreciate the community involvement of everyone on the council. And even if you're on the council, we appreciate your continued involvement. Any commissioner questions, or would you like to make any comments? Okay. Let's go. Our next speaker is Christine Singleton, and Christine is representing the Healthy Port Communities Coalition and also Texas Health and Environmental Alliance, or Environmental City Alliance, I guess. Okay. Yes. Christine, I see you there. If I didn't get your last organization, you can tell us exactly what it is.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. Yes.
Good morning.
My name is Christine Singleton, and I'm here today on behalf of the Healthy Ports Community Coalition and Texas Health and Environment Alliance, also known as THEA. And our team at THEA has spent nearly a decade working towards the EPA fully and safely removing the San Jacinto River Waste Pits Superfund site. I'm here today in support of the Port of Houston Authority authorizing work with an outside engineering firm. The Waste Pits Superfund process cannot alone be solved by the EPA or the responsible parties. This is an extremely complex situation in which, to be successful, it will need cooperation and coordination from a myriad of agencies. On that note, we are aware that the port and Harris County have advocated to be a part of the technical working group regular meetings. Rather than entering the review process each time a milestone is reached. So we strongly support this position and urge the Port Authority to encourage the EPA to use every ounce of authority granted to the agency under the CERCLA or the Superfund law to make the decision and clean up a process as efficient as possible. We firmly believe local stakeholders like Harris County and the Port Authority should have a seat at the table with making decisions about the cleanup. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And the commissioner's item F1 is what she is referring to, and that's a contract with HDR Engineering so that we have an engineering firm that is our eyes and ears to focus on this super fun site cleanup. That we have responsible parties, obviously, and the EPA and lots of other agencies are involved, but we are going to have our own engineering company focus on this specifically so they can give us the information we need to continue to work on this project. Commissioners, any questions from Ms. Singleton?
Just an observation, Mr. Chair, that I applaud this group and all groups that are helping us on the Superfund site. I saw somebody fishing in the site yesterday. So we need to get it done, and we need to get it done fast, efficiently, and as economically as possible. So I applaud everybody that assists in getting this site cleaned up and out of the San Jacinto River.
Thank you, Mr. Don Carlos. Appreciate that.
Any other commissioners?
I'd like to add, Chairman, if I could, that I represent mariners that work on the ship channel, and we appreciate moving this project forward. We've been worried about this for a long time, and we'd like to see that cleaned up and have a healthy environment for our folks to work in down there. So again, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate the public comments, and we will focus on it once we get right to this item under executive to approve it. I think that is the end of public comments. Do we have anybody else that signed up that I don't know about?
No, sir.
Okay, great. All right, well, let's move into the next item, which is item F under executive. And Tom, do you want to group these together, or how do you want to do this?
Yeah, yes, sir. I will group them together, and then we can take questions after the groupings before the vote, if you have.
Okay.
So executive, which is F in the agenda, the F1 is the one that Christine just talked about, the contract with HDR to be our eyes and ears during the EPA process. F2, by PHA's bylaws, the commission is authorized to give some of the committees power to vote on items, and so we are asking for the commission to approve the authorizing the community relations committee, who has a meeting later today, to listen to the recommendations and approve or disapprove the awards for the 2020 community grant program. F3 is what Roger just spoke about in terms of the AAPA Port Employee Emergency Relief Fund. This is for $10,000. Just another piece of information is our staff received money out of the fund after Harvey and Imelda. So we are very appreciative if this gets done for our fellow port workers at other ports. Four is the what Mr. Garcia talked about, the extension of the interlocal agreement pilots through the December 31st. Five is to give the commission to give authority to the executive director to represent PHA when we get grant applications and agreements. This is the paperwork that is done in the beginning. Of course, all projects as they are bid out and brought to you that are more than $50,000, you have the authority to approve or disapprove at that point. This is just the grant paperwork part that we want to give the executive director the authority to sign it rather than have to come back to you each time. The F6 is to work with the SPEED group, the Severe Storm Prediction, Education, and Evacuation from Disasters. This has been discussed before. This is for the PHA to commit a $250,000 grant of being contingent upon SPEED securing $750,000 from other sources before we would have to give our $250,000. So those are the six items in executive. I ask the commission to approve items F1 through F6.
I think I'm going to change that a little bit on this, Tom. Let's take items number one. I'll take a motion to approve items number one through five, and then we'll set six separately for a discussion. So is there a motion to approve F1 through five?
So move.
Any questions before we vote?
I have only one question, Commissioner. On three, I'm going to support that, and I appreciate the pilot stepping forward. However, I feel like that the pilots, the port, and the people involved in this thing need to get together the next year or so and try to figure out some method that this thing can, this board can be funded without causing the problems to put the burden on the pilots. They're regulating themselves. I disagree with you. I do think it's a conflict. I think it's a conflict for us to pay for it too, but there's a method. There's got to be a way that we can reach to structure this thing to where everybody shares in it and the burden doesn't completely fall on the pilots. And I appreciate them stepping forward. That's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
Okay. Any other commissioner comments? If not, do I hear any nay votes? Hearing none, the items 1 through 5 pass. Okay, so on item number 6, let me just make a comment before I call for a motion. I know this is an item that's been on the agenda for a while, and there's a lot of debate about it in terms of if we approve item number 6, does this mean that Port Houston is supporting the Galveston Bay Park project? And I think the answer to that is no, we are not supporting it in the sense of saying we think it's the right solution or we think that we're going to fund more money to it in the future. This is an item that once they get this $1 million, they are going to do more analysis, more engineering work to actually show if the project is viable. So this is seed money to get more information about whether the project or not a blanket port approval of the project going forward or any money, additional monies going forward. This is all about trying to get more information and helping them raise the money to do the math on engineering and to really understand whether it is a viable project or not. The project is, even though it's sort of on paper at this point without a lot of engineering behind it, the group has been able to get a lot of support from the City of Houston, from Harris County, and the joint press release from the Corps of Engineers. And so this is about trying to help fund further study of the project so that ultimately all of the stakeholders, including all the stakeholders of the port area, can actually see whether it makes sense or not. And so that's what this is about. With that, I will take a motion for item F6.
So moved.
Okay, there's a motion and second. Commissioners, before we vote, any comments or questions?
Yes, Commission, I'd like to just give a little background and tell you how I feel about this project and how the folks that are directly affected will be directly affected by this project feel about it. 12 years ago, this month, I walked through the Lakewood subdivision in Baytown when I was mayor and firsthand saw the effects of a 14-foot storm surge. I hugged friends whose all their worldly possessions were in their front yards. Their houses were totally smashed. So I get storm surge. I mean, I absolutely understand the necessity for a system to protect the Ship Channel residents and industries from storm surge. However, we already have a system, the Coastal Spine, which has been endorsed by all of the East End and the Corps of Engineers, and sadly to this point has been unable to secure significant funding to even begin that project. So from just a practical matter to now start spending public money to study a second project makes no sense whatsoever to me. I would remind the commission that this project is in Chambers County primarily. And as you know, Chambers County has sent a resolution to us last meeting whereby they stated again their opposition. And it's my understanding, I was copied on an email to Roger from Chambers County Commissioner Combs, whose precinct covers this area, that he remains and they remain in solid opposition to our funding of this project. So again, it makes no sense to me that we are spending $250,000 of public money for a project that the people that are directly affected by it don't want it. I think they understandably have a concern that a competing project coming along in a study phase is going to affect any potential funding for the coastal spine project. In my opinion, it's a waste of money. And I understand that Harris County, which has put precious little money in this, supports it. I understand the city of Houston, which has put no money in this project, supports it. However, for us to spend $250,000 of public money makes no sense to me. This project, if it ever came to pass, is dependent not only on fill material from the port, but it's not from Project 11. It's from some future widening project that, as we all know, won't happen for decades. There is no funding. There's no potential funding. If we can't get funding for the coastal spine, how is the second project going to get funding after the coastal spine? It's just absurd. So I'm going to go on record as saying that I believe that this project is, frankly, in my opinion, a feed trough for consultants. We've seen the budget for it. It all goes to various consulting firms and attorneys and such as that. And frankly, I think it's not an advantage to the port. I think it's a improper use of port authority money. Finally, I understand that our understanding is that our putting in $250,000 is not going to be interpreted as an endorsement or a sponsorship of this project. However, you and I both know that the Rice Group is going to take this and use the port's name as a de facto sponsor of this project in order to raise further money to, again, pay the consultants. So again, I am firmly opposed to it. I represent 31 cities in Harris County in opposition to this, aside apparently from the city of Houston. And all of the folks directly affected by it don't want the project. So again, that's where I stand on this. I would hope that should the commission choose otherwise, that it be made crystal clear in written communications to the Rice Group that our name is not to be used as an endorsement or sponsorship of this project and in connection with raising money from other individuals or groups. So that's all I got to say.
Okay, Commissioner Meese, I see you have unmuted. Go ahead.
I agree with basically everything that Ron Carlos said. Of course, I represent Pasadena and East Harris County. I have attended several meetings of this Ike-Dike. I did not take a position as a commissioner in it because I don't think we have any business selecting something that's not going to happen at this point in time. I think our goal should be just what you've been saying, telling us. We should be worried about getting it to 700 feet. We shouldn't have any interference with anybody, any other group trying to get monies or put together monies or a study to even approach the port, I mean, the Galveston County people to see if they would approve this program. And we're going to spend $30 million in all fairness to get the engineering work done on what we're trying to do by getting it up to 700 feet. Now, how can $1 million, it's just a drop in the bucket. Nothing's going to happen. And if it did come to pass, it's 15 years. I won't be here to see it in all probability, but it's a waste of money. It's something we should not be getting the port involved in. It's kind of like we're taking a position between the two by funding this, and I'm not, and I don't think the port should either. I think our goal should be one thing and one thing only, and that's to get this port everybody behind trying to get the thing out to 700 feet. I'm not for sure, nor have I heard from the chairman. I do not, or from Roger. I do not know if he supports this or not. I've tried not to ask him, but I can't imagine he is, but he, no comments being made there, but I'll be voting against it too. I'm sure that, and again, I say one other thing, Commissioner. I don't appreciate a person being appointed to a board to do the best job they can, and then someone else telling them how to vote. You got to vote the way I tell you. I appoint you, or I'm not going to appoint you. That's just not the way to do it. I believe that all of these commissioners on this thing are quite capable of making their own decisions. I don't think they need to be told how to vote. With that, I'll be voting no also.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Meese and Commissioner Don Carlos. In terms of any other commissioner comments?
Yeah, I'd like to say a few words. I fully appreciate the concern for the residents out there in the small cities, and I hear you loud and clear. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that Hurricane Ike hit 12 years ago and nothing has happened. And I'd like to see something happen, because, you know, what we need to be concerned about with the Port Authority is the port. And if you did have this, if that Laura would have come up to the Galveston Bay, you've all read the predictions of what would have happened. You'd have oil storage tanks floating around. Pollution incidents would be catastrophic. We've got to do something, move something forward to protect this port. And do I know what that is? No. I think this money that we're approving today would give us a clearer idea of what they have in mind, and can this be done? How much is it going to cost? Because you keep hearing the same thing about the Ike Dyke. It's too expensive. And every time I hear it, the price goes up. It's astronomical. So, I mean, I'd like to at least give the folks a chance. Let's do a study. Let's see what we can do, if this will work, and then we move forward. But something needs to be done. So I support the two. Fully appreciate the concerns of Commissioners Don Carlos and Meese. I hear you, but I'm concerned about the port. And if that Laura would have come up the bay, it would have been a mess like nobody's ever seen before. So that's where I'm at. Thank you.
Okay. Any other commissioner comments?
I just want to second what Commissioner Corby said, and you know, I agree we need to do something. I just want to be clear. I mean, we're not giving this $250,000 until they can go out and prove any kind of validity and get another $750,000 to have people believe in it. And in my opinion, I mean, there's nothing wrong with collecting more data and figuring out the best path forward. So, but I do appreciate Commissioner Don Carlos's and Commissioner Meese's comments. I mean, I understand where y'all are coming from as well. And I just, you know, want more information, and we make the best decision with the information we have in front of us.
Okay. Any other commissioners care to comment?
Chairman.
Go ahead.
I think you stated it in your opening comments, and I know Commissioner Don Carlos said it. I also want to just make sure that they are told that we're not supporting this particular program over the other one, and that they cannot go to the community and say that we supported this particular program. And with that, I'm willing to vote for it.
Okay.
This is Cheryl Cruzo. I just wanted to make a brief comment that I am in favor of spending this initial money to gather information about this, what I deem to be critical in terms of protecting the port. And I think it's only wise to spend the initial money to gather the information about the viability of it.
Okay, great. I think we've heard from all the commissioners. At this point, I'm going to change this up a little bit on the way our procedure was. So we have a motion and a second. And I'm going to call for a vote. All in favor, say aye, and then we'll have the nays so we can make sure there is clear there. So any other questions or comments? All in favor of item F6, Say aye, please.
Aye.
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 Okay, all opposed, say nay.
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 Okay, great. So the ayes have it. So the motion passes. And I just want to say that you know, we're always not going to agree on everything, you know, as a commission, but I want to thank Commissioner Don Carlos and Commissioner Meese. Your positions are clear, and you have been nothing but forthright in representing your communities, and I really appreciate that. There's a lot to be said about being able to disagree but doing it in an agreeable way, and we do that as a commission, and I think that is really important for us going forward. We all have different views oftentimes, and as long as we can, you know, come together, state our positions, and then agree to disagree, you know, that's the way commission or any group like this ought to be. So I appreciate your comments and I appreciate you know, your position as well. So Tom, let's go ahead and move forward on commercial items G. So pick however you want to go forward on these.
All right, the two that I would like to speak about are G1 and G2. These are the renewals of our trade development service assistance, G1 being in Europe with Flensborg and Associates, and G2 being in Asia with Benlines. Benlines been with us since 2010. Flensborg is the second contract. They've been with us since 2018. So with that, I ask the commission to approve items G1 through G5.
Motion.
County, I think, put 10,000.
Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second?
A second.
Okay, great. Any commissioners, any questions about the items G1 through 5?
Mr. Chairman, I have just a quick request. I know I would be interested, and I think probably some of our newer commissioners would be interested in particularly items 1 and 2. Could we get a report from Roger at maybe our next meeting? And it doesn't have to be very long or particularly detailed about what these agents that we retain in other countries do for the port and how they go about the business of representing the port. I think it'd be very interesting and educational for us to find out what we're getting for the money that we spend overseas.
Absolutely. In my briefing, I asked that question and got a pretty detailed answer. So Roger, will you go ahead and put that on the agenda for next meeting?
I will absolutely do it. And just without saying too much, you know, these organizations have helped us expand our reach in reaching out to some of the beneficial cargo owners and are a part of our weekly team meetings about the targets that we have for commercial activities. But we'll give you a full report. Great question. And we'll report back to you next month.
Thank you.
Any other commissioner comments or questions? If not, do I hear any nay votes? There are no nay votes. The items pass. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. In finance, there's two items. H1 is the final option year with AS&G to serve as the port's third-party administrator for our self-insured workers' comp and liability programs. We will be bidding this out again next year as I said, was the final option year. H2 is something that there's federal and state laws that require certain things to be done when entities want to issue obligations. And we are going to have to issue some obligations to pay for Project 11. This resolution allows us to reimburse ourselves for the cost paid prior to the issuance of that obligation. So what I ask is the commission approve items H1 and H2.
Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
Okay, so motion's been made and seconded. Any questions about H1 or H2? And before you do the questions, let me just talk about H2 a little bit. So this is a precursor to ultimately how we finance Project 11. It doesn't require us, the port, to spend 100% of the money. We still believe and really hope that the industry will step up and do what they said they would, which was to fund half of the costs associated with Project 11 in some sort of mechanism. And I will say that we have not had, I think COVID and the current environment and for our energy partners has created a complicated role for them. And so we haven't moved that ball forward as far as we'd like, but ultimately we will be back on it and trying to figure out a way and what mechanism that we can get industry to pay for half of Project 11. And if it's a fee or it's something like that, then it would probably be incorporated in the revenue stream under H2 that we would ultimately bond and these bonds, by the way, would be port bonds not backed by Harris County tax revenues. Just want to make sure that everyone understands these are not, we're not contemplating any Harris County bonds in this resolution. Only relates to bonds that would be issued by the Port Authority using its own cash flow as a source of repayment for those bonds. So let's make sure there's no confusion. This is not about issuing general obligation bonds or asking Harris County to do any of that. So with that said, are there any other questions? Well, hearing none, do we have any nay votes on H1 and H2? If not, motion passes. Tom, infrastructure.
Okay, on infrastructure, I'd like to talk about I2. This is to approve staff ranking for a study to investigate requirements necessary for PHA to develop a container on barge hub and spoke terminal. This is something that the container on barge business is something we internally have been talking about for quite some time. And recently, the U.S. Department of Transportation came to us with this grant opportunity to take a deeper look into it. You know, the efficiencies of running a container on barge facility using the cranes that we have for ships is not very high. So we do need to do some studies in terms of if we did it, where we would do it, what kind of equipment we would need. So this grant is for $225,000, and the port share of the project is $45,000. And this will give us an answer that we can use when we are questioned or making decisions on how we're going to handle containers on barges. The second one that I would like to talk about is I-5. I-5, one of the last meetings, Commission, you approved an MOU with Harris County to convey Port Road to them for when it's completed. At that time, we did not have all the documentations for the drainage features that are also part of this project. So all we're asking on I-5 is to amend that MOU to include the port drainage features in that conveyance and maintenance. So with that, I ask the commission to approve items I-1 through I-13.
Do we have a motion?
I'll move.
And a second?
I'd second.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. Are there any questions or comments on items I-1 through I-6?
Chairman, can I ask one quick question?
Yes, sir.
On this study for the container on barge, is this in the port community or outside the port community that we're studying?
It is in the port
to bring the containers on barge from outside of Houston, or is just moving it around inside our port community?
It's for both.
Both, okay.
It's Clyde. It's both, and we need to study what the feasibility is for doing that. You know, there's a lot of people that think, well, let's just make Houston, Barberscut, Bayport, a barge terminal, and there's some impacts of that, you know, that for interference with our big ships coming in and working containers. So I think it's worthwhile to study it, but there's more to it of having separate type facilities and the economics of that. Hey, we're all for any measures that we can take that can improve commerce, create more commerce through our port, but we just need to make sure that we can do it efficiently before we make a huge investment.
I hear you. Well, we want to make sure that we stay focused on Chambers County, because we do believe that's going to be a big distribution area one of these days. And to get some of these trucks off the highways, that makes a lot of sense to move it by barge.
Yeah, and it definitely include those movements that we have that, you know, currently go to Chambers County and even from the upper reaches of the Houston Ship Channel. So that's all part of it. It's very worthwhile to do.
I agree. If I could comment, what we're really talking about here is short sea shipping, which I've advocated for many years. And like you said, it's going to get containers, trucks off the highways. It's going to quit tearing up our bridges, roadways. And it's going to be more efficient as far as emissions, because instead of a bunch of trucks, you're going to have one towboat pushing a barge. So I'm fully in favor of this. I've been advocating this for a long time, and I'm glad to see it come up and move forward. So thanks.
Mr. Chair, I'm also in favor of this. I, as you know, we've got competition around, and I noted an article in the Chronicle that the Port of Freeport and the Highway 36 Coalition is now studying a freight shuttle system that we've taken a cursory look at for moving containers, not by truck, but by freight rail up to Interstate 10 area to be offloaded and up to 59. So I think that it behooves us to look at every possible way to make us more competitive and to reduce cost. They think they can, with the freight shuttle, can reduce cost significantly over truck traffic. And I'm assuming that with using the barges, we might be able to do the same thing.
Okay. Any other comments or commissioners before we call for the vote? Okay.
Chairman Campo, okay. It's Eric. Okay. Is this for items 1 to 6 or 1 to 13? I just want to make sure.
I believe it's 1 through 13, isn't it, Tom?
That's what I recommend.
Yeah, I misspoke on 6.
Thank you.
So it's 1 through 13. Sorry about that. Thank you, Eric. Any nay votes? Hearing none, items I-1 through 13 pass. Tom?
Okay, under operations, J-1 is asking for an award for a sole source contract to Coney Crane for the purchase and installation of upgraded drives and controls on 4 RTGs. These RTGs are from back from 2003 to 2009. The manufacturer no longer services these drives. So rather than go buy a $2 million RTG when we can just fix the drives and get some more life out of the current ones, we are recommending that we go this direction. We already did this on 6 previous RTGs, and they are working perfectly fine and extending the life. J3 is asking for additional funding. Commission has approved this a couple times since the pandemic started. This is asking for $650,000 for the temperature screening that we do at all of our terminals, and another $600,000 for the cleaning of the terminals on weekends. The total, just so you have an understanding of what we've spent so far on COVID related, is $3.9 million as of last Friday. That's broken up about 1.4 million for the cleaning side of it.
Clyde, what's number seven?
1.8 million for the temperature. And about 650,000 for the supplies, the PPE stuff. So we are taking this through the end of December, not knowing how long this is going to last, but we wanted to get these services approved through December so that we make sure we can handle it. Obviously, if some miracle happens and it's then the pandemic stops, we won't spend all this money. J6 is to authorize the
contract. Hey, Tom, would you also talk about the potential reimbursement from FEMA under the CARES Act?
Yeah, FEMA has, when this all started, FEMA came out with some rulings that they would reimburse for some of these expenses. As of September 15th, they have changed those rules. So we have documented and submitted all of our costs up to September 15th to go through that process. So we're hoping, because we are an essential workplace, that we will be reimbursed for these monies.
Okay, go ahead.
J6, we get all of our information by EDI, electronic information, from our steamship lines, from customs, from other governmental agencies. And there is no standard EDI language. They all can do whatever they want, and they pretty much do, in terms of it all has the same stuff. It's just how it's laid out. So we have to have a preprocessor that takes all of those different versions and converts them into what we can use in our Navis system. So we have had a preprocessor that has not been the best product. We have tried to get that vendor to help us improve it. They would not give guarantees that it would fix it. So we started to look for an alternative. And we found an alternative that some of our terminal operating competitors are using with IBM. And we investigated it, and it works very well with Navis. So what we are asking the commission to do is authorize the contract with IBM to help us develop that preprocessor, the EDI preprocessor for us. J8 is a 30-year lease with Texas Stevedoring Services, TSS, which is a combination of Hapag-Lloyd, our largest container carrier at Barber's Cut, and Ceres. And what they have requested is identical to the process we have at Bayport with CMA and MSC, who have built or are building their own empty yards. So TSS will run the empty yard for Hapag at Barber's Cut for 30 years after building it out. There is a mention in here about interim, and that is an interim spot, and that is because where the permanent location of the empty yard is going to be is where our current Barber's Cut maintenance shop is, and that process is already started to build a new maintenance shop. So once that is built, then TSS would build their new yard at that facility. So I asked the commission to approve items J1 through J7.
And just to be clear, you had said J8 before, but it's actually J7. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, commissioners, is your motion?
I'll move.
Second? Okay. Second. Any questions or comments?
Yeah. I'm on item 7. How much rent is it? How much are they going to be paying us annually, or?
On that,
because it wasn't in the backup information either. That's what I was, y'all usually put in there how much we're getting paid for rent, and that was lacking here.
Okay, we will get you that.
Thank you.
That's a great question, Commissioner, and you know, just in general, it is you know, whatever our approved rate is for, you know, improved property on the terminal or whatever, but we have that dollar amount. It should be in the RCA, but we can do that.
Any other questions? Okay, so we have a motion and a second for items J1 through J7. Do I hear any nay votes? Hearing none, the items pass. Okay, Tom, people?
People, there are just two items. The first one is to authorize the renewal of the group insurance agreements with the exception of medical. We did a two-year quote last year that you approved, but we only asked for approval of the dollars for year one. So this is just getting the dollars associated with those programs for year two of the agreement. That we're talking about the life program, the life insurance, the dental, the vision, the LTD, short-term disability, AD&D. There are no changes to the program or the rates. The only increase that you see in the dollar figure that we are asking for approval is because of staffing size increases. K2 is asking for additional premiums for our dental program. When we were budgeting for last year's dental, we were also making changes to the policy and the program, which made the program a better program for our employees. So rather than the estimated 579 people that we thought would take it, actually 629 signed up for dental this year. So we're going to be a little short on the premium. So we are asking for $75,000 to take us through the end of the year. So I ask for the commission to approve K1 and K2.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, do we have any nay votes? Hearing none, the motion items pass K1 through 2. Item L1.
L1 is something we've done for years, and it is an intergovernmental agreement with the City of Morgan's Point for law enforcement assistance when needed. We don't use it a whole lot, but it is nice to have the ability to call on Morgan's Point to help us if there's any issues in the terminal or around the terminal. So I ask to approve item L1.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, do I have any nay votes? Hearing none, items L1 passes. Technology?
Technology, there's two items. They're both licensing and software renewals. The first one, M1, is for the JD Edwards, which is our enterprise resource planning, our ERP for the port, which handles all the financial payroll, accounts payable, accounts receivable. And so this is a three-year software agreement. And the reason we've done 3 years is JD Edwards is going away. Oracle is dropping JD Edwards in about 7 years. We are starting late this year or probably early next year the development of a new ERP, which will take us a few years. It's very complicated. So we know we'll be using JD Edwards for the next 3 years before we can get to the new one. So that's why this is 3 years rather than our typical five. The second one, M2, is a software package called Manage Engine. This is what we use for our help desk, so they can log issues that people are having with computers, monitors, things like that. And so we can track what's been asked and what's been completed. But what's more important to me, it also monitors all 11,000 of our physical assets in our IT. So we know who has every laptop and desktop and iPad, things like that. So it helps us track and know who's responsible for each one of those pieces of equipment. So I ask the commission to approve items M1 and M2.
Is there a motion?
Okay.
A second?
Second.
Okay, any questions or comments from commissioners? Okay, hearing none, do we have any nay votes for item number M1 and 2? Hearing none, the items pass. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to now move into an executive session. And so what we'll do is the commissioners will leave this meeting. You definitely don't want to leave it open. You want to leave the meeting physically and then open up the executive session meeting. Eric, do you need to like make a count and make statement on this at all?
Yes, I will do that right now. It's 10:36 a.m. The Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority of Harris County, Texas will convene in a closed meeting as permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code to conduct a consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding amendments to agreements for legal services with Kenny Friedman, Alan Hoagland, and Littler Mendelson Firm, deliberate regarding real estate, including disposition of Barber's Cut Terminal, Beltway 8, and Turning Basin Terminal vicinity properties, economic development negotiations or incentives, employment and evaluation of public employees, and security-related matters. Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Well, I was just going to call the roll then, just to, you know, for formality's sake. Obviously, Chairman Campo, Commissioner Clunan.
Present.
Commissioner Crusoe. Commissioner Crusoe may be muted. I believe I see her number.
Yes.
Commissioner Don Carlos.
Here.
Commissioner Fitzgerald.
Here.
Commissioner Meese.
Here.
And one more time, Commissioner Corgi. Okay. It looks like we, as you said, we have a quorum. I would just ask a member of the Port Commission to move to authorize the Port Authority to enter into or amend agreements for legal services that we have with J. Ken Friedman, Alan Hoagland, and the Littler Mendelson Firm on terms discussed in executive session and authorize the Chief Legal Officer to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Okay. I see Dean online. Dean is with us as well. So there's a motion and a second to approve the legal service agreements. Is there any questions or comments? Hearing none. Are there any nay votes? Hearing none. The motion passes. I appreciate that. So thank you. And we are now at a point where we can actually adjourn the meeting. We completed all our work. Appreciate everybody's participation today, and we'll see you next month. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Do I hear any nay votes? If not, we are adjourned. 11:17.